are beginning in verse number 50 of Matthew chapter 27 with Jesus Christ giving up the ghost on the cross. Then I'd like to read the verses and the events that precede the burial of the Lord Jesus Christ. So Matthew chapter number 27 will begin in verse number 50. If you're able to, please stand with me for the reading of the Bible, Matthew chapter 27 and verse number 50. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose, and came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city, and appeared unto many. Now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, "Truly, this was the Son of God." And many women were there beholding afar off, which followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering unto him, among which was Mary Magdalene, and Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's children. When the even was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciples. And he went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered. And when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out in the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulcher and departed. And there was Mary Magdalene and the other Mary sitting over against the sepulcher. Now the next day, that followed the day of the preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, "Sir, we remember that that deceiver said while he was yet alive, 'After 3 days I will rise again.' Command therefore that the sepulcher be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away, and say unto the people, 'He is risen from the dead,' so the last error shall be worse than the first." Pilate said unto him, "Ye have a watch. Go your way, make it as sure as you can." So they went and made the sepulcher sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for, Lord, this portion of Scripture. And Lord, we get to the last couple chapters of each of the Gospels. And Lord, we're talking about walking on holy ground. It's a wonderful thing to read about the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. An awesome thing, Lord. But then that last chapter, to read about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, Lord, that's our focal point for this Easter Sunday. And I pray, Lord, that you bless, dear Lord, as the message once again is preached from the pulpit of Blessed Hope Baptist Church 50 years in a row now on Easter Sunday. Somebody's opened a Bible and somebody's pointed people to the resurrection. Lord, I pray, dear God, that our hearts would burn and our hearts would be glad as if we were hearing it for the first time. We pray for that one that may be here without Jesus Christ as their Savior, that today would be the day that they're saved. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. As I was reading towards and for preparation for the resurrection, and like I mentioned in my prayer, you get to the last chapter of each of the Gospels, and it seems like that becomes the focal point. But I like reading the chapter before it because I like reading about the resurrection. And if there's an alarm going off on somebody's phone, if we can take care of that, I'd appreciate it, okay? I don't think that alarm's more important than what we're going to be talking about right now. So if you can't get it, turn it off, then put it on the ground, stomp on it real hard 5 or 6 times. And let's focus on what's important this morning, amen? But I love reading the crucifixion story. It's an awesome thing. In many ways, it's an awful thing. And yet, it's a glorious thing. Just simply because of what Jesus Christ was willing to do to pay for my sins, your sins, and the sins of all of the world. Let's not forget the gospel, folks, is that Jesus died for our sins. That's what 1 Corinthians chapter 15 tells us. Not that he just died, but it tells the reason that he died. He died for our sins, according to the gospel, was buried and rose again the third day. So as I was reading in preparation for that, I got down to verse number 62, and I began to kind of view this, I guess, from, I guess, a believer's standpoint, someone who believes in Christ, someone who understands and believes in an eternal God, Jehovah God, believes in the Trinity, believes in the creation story, believes in the power of God. And I began to look at a group of men who decided that they were going to get together here and they were going to prevent, if you will, the possibility of even anyone deciding that Jesus could disappear out of this tomb after 3 days and three nights. And as I'm looking at this and reading this, I thought, okay, well, what kind of a plan did they come up with? Well, Joseph of Arimathea, he was the one that allowed Jesus to, let me say this, borrow his tomb for a while, amen? And so he put him in the tomb, and then he rolled a stone in front of the tomb. Now, you think that would be secure enough. The Bible describes this as a great stone. It became the door of the sepulcher. It was more than most people could have moved. The ladies on Resurrection Sunday, one of their big concerns as they headed to the tomb was, who will roll the stone away from us? So this is talking about a great stone. You think that would be enough. But the religious leaders of that day decided that they had better take some added precautions. So first of all, they rolled a hewn stone chiseled out of a great single rock in front of the entrance of the tomb. Then the Jewish religious leaders began to have a little meeting. And they said, well, wait a minute here. What if those disciples decide that they're going to try to make good on Christ's promise? We don't believe that he was the Son of God. We don't believe that he's going to rise the third day. But what if those disciples sneak in and steal the body of the Lord Jesus Christ? And so we better make sure that we prevent that from happening. And so the Jewish leaders anticipated a possible attempt by Christ's disciples to steal the body. Boy, they were going to outsmart those Jewish followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. So then they take the next step and they approach Pilate. Now, folks, this is the most powerful political leader of the region, of that region, and they appealed right to the head honcho. They said, we need you to pass an executive order, okay? We need you to make a command and to command something. Here's what we think might happen, and we want to make sure that we prevent it from happening. And again, I guess as a believer, I'm looking at all of this thinking, boy, they are about to be involved in the greatest underestimation ever, okay? And so they went to Pilate, and then Pilate decides he's going to sign an executive order. And so he gets some soldiers, and he gives them what they call the watch. So he gave a group of soldiers that worked in shifts, and their job was to guard a dead body to make sure that it does not get stolen for 3 days and for three nights. Here's what the Bible says. It uses this phrase. They made the sepulcher sure. Now, how did they do that? They did two things. First of all, the soldiers were sent to oversee the sealing of the stone. All right, the stone's already been rolled in front, but it has not been sealed. Now, I did a little bit of a background study on this, and they believe that it was either some type of a tar mixture as a waterproofing agent and a sealant, or some type of a mortar as we would use, very much as we would use today in any stone work. And so they lathered it on thick, okay? So now we not only have this huge stone, but now we have soldiers overseeing that this stone is going to be sealed. Now, folks, I can't help again but stop and think about my great Creator. Okay, the stone that you rolled in front of that tomb, the Creator God created that stone, okay? And this mortar, oh my goodness sakes, this mortar that you're going to seal this stone with, I'm sure God's going to have some problems with that. And so soldiers were sent to oversee the sealing of the stone to make the sepulcher sure. And then they weren't allowed to leave. Soldiers working in shifts were assigned the duty of guarding the tomb for 3 days and three nights. And can you imagine the talk in the barracks? And so where are y'all going? Well, we're going to go guard a tomb. Why are you guarding a tomb? To make sure a dead man don't get out of the tomb. That's what we're going to do. And so these Roman soldiers, who, by the way, again, God created every single one of them, but they're going to put on their armor, and they're going to bring their sword and their shield and maybe their spears, and they're going to stand guard to make sure that Jesus does not rise from the dead. So soldiers were assigned the duty of guarding the tomb for 3 days and three nights. Now here's the question this morning. So why didn't it work? Okay, how does the body of the Lord Jesus Christ after 3 days and three nights disappear out of that tomb? Why does the tomb stand empty on the morning of the third day? Here's the question I want to pose to you this morning. Why did these measures fail? Well, I'm going to give you some Bible reasons. Number one, they didn't really believe Jesus was who he said he was. That's their first mistake. See, if they'd have just listened to him, they would have heard him say things like this. Jesus saith unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That had been there the day that he raised Lazarus from the dead, they would have said, heard him say this, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. And then the question he posed to Martha, believest thou this? And by the way, that's we're going to get to at the end of the message. Because folks, we're going to talk about what the Jews did and did not believe. We're going to talk about what the disciples did and did not believe. We're going to talk about what the religious leaders did and did not believe. We're going to talk about what Pilate did or did not believe. But you know what? That's not the most important question this morning. The most important question is, what do you believe about the resurrection? What do you believe? Well, they would have heard Jesus in John chapter 10, had they listened, say this, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Here's what he said, boy, if they'd have remembered this, I and my Father are one. So number one, they underestimated who the Lord Jesus Christ was. They thought he was just a teacher. They thought he was a leader of a new cult. They thought that he was just a thorn in their flesh and an annoyance in their life. They had him proclaim again and again that he was the Messiah, but they refused to hear it and they refused to believe it. So their first mistake was this. They didn't really believe Jesus was who he said that he was. Hey, who do you believe Jesus is? Are you right there with him? Well, preacher, he was a good man. Well, let me ask you this. Was he the Son of God? Was he God the Son? Well, he was a good teacher. He was a great leader. He was a great example. He taught some very important things. Well, I'm going to tell you something. If that's all you believe about Jesus, that's not going to open the door of heaven for you. So number one, they didn't really believe Jesus was who he said he was. Number two, their strategy only took into account possible human attempts to steal the body. Now, they thought if they could stop his disciples from stealing the body of Jesus Christ, that it would be safe. Oh my goodness sakes, did they underestimate that situation? They planned against the natural, but totally failed to take into account the supernatural. They believed that if they could stop the followers of Christ, they could prevent a pretend resurrection. They were so worried about a pretend resurrection that they failed to understand that there was going to be a genuine resurrection. They were worried about Peter, okay, when they should have been worried about the perfect one. They were worried about James when they should have been worried about the just one. They were worried about Thomas when they should have been worried about the truth. They were worried about Andrew when they should have been worried about the anointed one. They were worried about Matthew when they should have been worried about the Messiah. They were worried about Bartholomew when they should have been worried about the bread of life. They were worried about John when they should have been worried about Jesus. You see, their strategy only took into account possible human attempts to steal the body of Jesus Christ. And by the way, as Christians, let's take it, turn the coin over here. As Christians, we're reminded in the Bible that our enemies that we face are not clothed in flesh and blood. You think about what Ephesians chapter 6 teaches us. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against the spiritual wickedness, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, taking you unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. So God reminds us as Christians, listen, don't get focused on people and think that they are the enemy. You know what? There's a greater power out there. Well, that lesson would have served these men well, because they were worried about a handful of followers of the Lord Jesus Christ when they should have been worried about Jesus Christ, who he said he was and who he truly was. And so, number one, they didn't really believe Jesus was who he said he was. Number two, their strategy only took into account possible human attempts to steal the body. Say, why else didn't it work, preacher? They underestimated, number three, they underestimated the power of the other two members of the Trinity. Now, one of the things that you'll delight in as you do an exhaustive study on this subject of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, one of the things that you'll discover is that, you know why Jesus was able to raise from the dead? Because of God the Father. He was involved in the resurrection. You know why Jesus was able to raise from the dead? Because of God the Holy Spirit. He was involved in the resurrection. Say, preacher, give me Bible on that. Romans 10:9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God, come on, talking about God the Father, God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And then in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, for Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh. Come on, being put to death in the flesh. Okay, he didn't go into a coma. He wasn't faking. He died in the flesh, but watch this, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the capital S, Spirit, but quickened by the Spirit. You see, Satan made a miscalculation here. He thought if he killed Jesus, he killed God. But he failed to reckon with the doctrine of the Trinity, okay? If you're going to kill God, you're going to have to kill God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And listen to me, folks. Jesus said, I and my Father are one. He made a grave error, you see, because God the Father was still on the throne, and God the Spirit was still on earth. And you know what? The two of them said, you know what? We're going to come on in, and we're just going to interrupt this little sham, this little party, this little celebration over the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God the Father stepped in and raised his Son from the dead. It was the capital S Spirit that quickened Jesus on Resurrection Sunday. And so they underestimated the power of the other two members of the Trinity. Why are you going through this, preacher? Because I think the same mistakes that we see on Resurrection Day are the same mistakes I see in many Americans today. They fail to believe who Jesus said he was. They only look at life from a human standpoint of what they think is possible and impossible, and they underestimate the power of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Let me give you another reason. Number four, they failed to realize the grand importance of the resurrection in God's eternal plan. Now, folks, listen to me. Let me just say it plainly. It's going to take more than a stone to stop God from doing what he's going to do on Easter morning, on Resurrection Day. It's going to take more than a little bit of mortar. Come on, mixed up with some sand. It's going to take a little more than a little bit of tar. Sealing a tomb to waterproof it to prevent the mighty creator God. Come on, the almighty God of the universe. I don't think it's going to be stopped or thwarted because somebody put a little mortar on a stone. Okay, those Roman soldiers, I understand that they were feared in their day and they were the elite of their day. But excuse me, You know what? God spoke and the worlds were created. I don't think he's worried about a handful of soldiers in battle armor with swords and spears. And you know what? Folks, listen to me. Watch this. You know what? They made it as sure as they can. And I even like the way Pilate said that. He said, here's your watch. Make it as sure as you can. I think Pilate, having questioned the Lord Jesus Christ and having come to the conclusion that he was the Son of God and there was no fault in him. I'm not saying he got saved that day. He just knew this was no ordinary man. And he said, make it as sure as you can. But you know what, folks? Guarding that tomb and putting the mortar on that tomb was not going to prevent what God was going to do. Why? Why? Because this was too big. This was got part of God's grand eternal plan to save mankind. I referenced 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Let me read some of those verses to you. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. And by the way, the word gospel means good news, which I preached unto you, which also you have received and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. Listen, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried. Here it is. And that he arose again the third day according to the scriptures. Now, I usually would stop there, but since it's Resurrection Sunday, let's be reminded of this. Verse 5, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, come on, Paul wrote this, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all, he was seen of me also as one born out of due time. Folks, they're eyewitness accounts of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Over 500 people interacted personally with Christ during the post-resurrection ministry, those 40 days that he ministered here on earth. Listen, folks, the gospel would not be complete without the resurrection. Yes, I'm glad that Christ died for our sins. And by the way, that death was necessary in the shedding of blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. That was important to pay for our sins. But what about eternal life? What about that last enemy that the Bible identifies as death? Can God also defeat death? Can Jesus also defeat that last enemy? And so, yes, Jesus died on the cross for our sins. That's just the first part of the gospel. Then he was buried. Yes, he was buried 3 days and three nights. That's the second part of the gospel. But folks, the exclamation point on the gospel is the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, you know what? A little bit of mortar is not going to prevent God from doing what he set out to do. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. How could he offer everlasting life to us after we die if Jesus was not able to defeat death after he died? And so, folks, listen to me. God completed his plan that day. You know what? It all started in the mind of God. The Bible says before the foundation of the world was even laid. And you know what? All the way back in Genesis, when man fell into sin in that third chapter, you know what? God began a plan. God began to set the stage for the coming of his Son. And he slew those animals, the shedding of blood, and he gave them those coats to cover their shame. And he did all of that as pointing towards the day when the perfect Lamb of God would come and die for the sins of all mankind. They failed to realize, I'm sorry, Governor Pilate, you know, come on, you can write up all the executive orders you want to. It is not going to stand in the way of God's plan. Roman soldiers, go out there and march and strut and keep watch, but you're not going to stop what God has decided is going to happen on that day. Number 5, because of this, they find themselves, by the way, scrambling because they underestimated it. They find themselves scrambling to explain away the greatest miracle of all time. If you're still in Matthew chapter number 27, by the way, let's just see if it worked. You know, I think we ought to probably read the resurrection story. Matthew chapter 28, if you're right there, verse number 1, in the end of the Sabbath. Did it work, preacher? In the end of the Sabbath, that's Saturday night, as it began to dawn towards the first day of the week, that Sunday morning, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and become as dead men. Well, that took care of them. The mortar didn't hold. And you know what? The guards fainted. And Christ arose. Boy, the greatest underestimation ever. Notice this, verse 5. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay. Well, I'm glad that you had your meeting, Jewish religious leaders, but you know what? Your meeting came to naught. I'm glad that you thought you were so smart because you outwitted those disciples and you thought of their plan before they thought of their plan. And you went and you pulled the political strings to your little political puppet and he did what you wanted him to do, and he gave you some buckets of mortar and he gave you some Roman soldiers. But boy, if this isn't the greatest underestimation ever, I don't know what is. They forgot that there's a God that sits on the throne. They forgot that there's a God that looked down and loved mankind. They forgot that there was a Savior who promised and proclaimed himself as the resurrection and the life. Boy, what an underestimation. Now what are they going to do? Well, if you don't turn the page, Matthew 28, if you look in verse number 11, Matthew 28, 11. Now, when they were going, behold, some of the watch, that's Roman soldiers. I guess they finally woke up after fainting. Now think of what it would take to make a Roman soldier faint, okay? Roman soldier faint. Some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, listen, folks, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews unto this day. And by the way, it's not just commonly reported to the Jews unto that day. It's still being reported. That lie is still being spread. Now listen, folks, as I said at the beginning of the message, the question for the morning is this. What do you believe about the resurrection? Look right up here. Don't lose me now. Not what do you say you believe. You know, we can say words that we really don't believe in our heart. I didn't say what do you say you believe about the resurrection. As I preached this, what did God reveal to you in your heart? What do you truly in your heart believe about the Lord Jesus Christ? And believe about his death. And believe about his burial. And believe about his resurrection. Because, folks, what you believe about Jesus and the gospel, his death, remember, he died for our sins. That's your sins. That's my sins. That's the sins of all the world. If you don't make it personal, you won't get saved. What do you believe about Jesus? Do you really believe in your heart? Do you really believe that he was the Son of God? Do you believe that he was God the Son? Do you believe that he pre-existed the manger? Do you believe that he was there as part of the triune God on creation day? Do you truly believe that with all of your heart? Do you believe that he died for your sins? Do you believe that he was buried for 3 days and three nights? That's Good Thursday, not Good Friday, by the way. And do you believe that he rose from the dead? I didn't say what you say you believe, because you're not going to be judged on what you said you believe. God doesn't just look at words. He looks into the heart of mankind. Say, preacher, how do I make that step of faith? Listen, what you choose to believe is just that, a choice. There came a day in my life as a young man where I began to attend church. My mom and dad, I was born into a family that didn't attend church on a regular basis, didn't attend church at all. And I began to begin to be taken by my parents to church. And I want to say this. Thank God for Sunday school teachers. Thank God for children's church workers. Thank God for those that are dealing with our children right now and preaching to them, because it was in that environment where I first heard about the Lord Jesus Christ. I first heard about who the Bible said that he truly was. I first heard about his death on an old rugged cross. And I first heard about sin. Boy, I'm telling you what, preachers have gotten quiet on sin, and because of that, people aren't getting saved. Listen, if a pulpit, listen, I believe this on my heart. There's too many pulpits that have gotten quiet on sin. Okay, and those pulpits are occupied by cowards. Because if you're not willing to preach against sin, then you know what? You're not going to see people saved. I'm talking about your sin, mister. I'm talking about your sin, ma'am. Young person, I'm talking about your sin. Jesus died for your sins. But he was buried, and he rose again the third day. And you know what? As a young person, just as a boy, you know what? With a childlike faith, thank God for childlike faith, I just decided, you know what? I believe that Jesus is who the Bible says that he was. I believe he died that day on that cross for my sins. I believe he was buried, and I believe he rose again the third day. And because of that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And because I was willing to put my faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and him alone for salvation, and I was willing to call upon him, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's the promise of God's word. Because I was willing to do that, you know what? Jesus Christ came into my heart. Jesus Christ made me one of his children. I became, the Bible uses the term, born again that day. And you know what? My life's never been the same since. Listen, folks, that couldn't have been possible if it hadn't have been for the resurrection. Are you underestimating Jesus? Are you underestimating his death on the cross? Have you, up to this point in your life, underestimated the importance of the resurrection and what it means? Let me ask it to you very plainly, very pointedly. If you died right now, do you know for sure you'd go to heaven? As you think back on the timeline of your life, and as you look back and review your life, can you find that spot, that time point, that moment where you fell under conviction of your sin and you put your faith and trust in Jesus and Jesus alone for eternal life? If not, I got great news. You can do that this morning. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'll help us this morning. As Christians, Lord, we read these accounts now through the lens of belief, and we somewhat marvel at the ignorance of men. And yet, Lord, there was a time when each and every one of us, everybody in this room, there was a time when we were without Christ and without hope. And Lord, we could only look at life through the lens of what is natural, the mortal view of life. But Lord, thank you, dear God, how faith in Christ just opens up faith in the Word of God as a whole. And Lord, now we look back and we think to ourselves, what were they thinking? Do they really believe they could have stopped God? Do they really believe they could have put a halt to the plan of God? The Bible says that death, the grave, could not hold him. And Lord, I want to thank you that you're more powerful, Lord, than sin and death and the grave and Satan. Lord, this is a victory Sunday. This is a celebration Sunday. This is resurrection Sunday. And I pray, Lord, that as, dear Lord, we celebrate it, if there's anyone amongst us, there's anyone here, dear Lord, that has come to the realization, because of your Holy Spirit's work in their heart this morning, has come to the realization that they are without Jesus Christ as their Savior, Lord, that today would be the day that they received you as their Savior.